Hello, all, and thank you for joining the Walt Weekly Podcast Friday Live. In observance of Women's History Month, we had scheduled Illinois congressional candidate, Ms. Letitia Wallace. Did I pronounce that right, Michelle? Letitia or Letessa?
Letessa.
Letessa Wallace. Yes, Ms. Wallace. Yes. All right. But due to a last-minute emergency that she had, we're going to have to reschedule her, so she will not be on tonight. But hopefully this month, in observance of Women's History Month, she will be with us. I am Walter Latham, your host, along with your co-host, Michelle Sweeney McCombs. And we also have our distinguished thought leaders, the panel. Okay, our thought leaders. They are thought leaders, and they are the panel, and Michelle will introduce it to you shortly. I want to know, what more can happen to us? You know, COVID, Trump, the Capitol Hill riots, our kids and young people continuing to die at the hands of law enforcement because of the color of their skin. I mean, what more can happen to us? That's what I want to know. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And we're going to lead off with, why should the community care about the war in Ukraine? All right, that's what we're going to talk about. But let me turn it over to Michelle so that she could introduce the panel.
Thank you, Walter. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Walt Weekly Friday Night Live. Happy Women's History Month to all. Thank you to our live audience for joining us. Please follow the Walt Weekly and share this podcast by clicking the below share button. The Walt Weekly Friday Night Live is brought to you by Michelle Sweeney Hair and Skincare. Our intro and outro music is provided by Uncle Nephew. This week, panel member, thank you for returning. Christopher Sweeney, CEO of Johnny Roof's Smokehouse and a retired New York sanitation worker. I will put all his information in the chat room and during the discussion, any information that we have in reference to Ukraine and the war, I will also put that in the chat room. So back to you, Walter.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. And how are you doing? Sure.
I'm good. How are you?
Great. You sound good.
Yeah. I'm blessed. I can't complain.
All right.
Yeah. Woke up this morning. Everybody's good. I didn't get no negative phone calls, no drama. We are good.
You had a good study client flow, I believe, today, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Making that money, making that paper, you know? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything is high. Everything. And
everything.
That's a segue into what's the topic of today's show? Why should the community care about the war in Ukraine? All right. Russia invaded Ukraine. Now it's all over the place. You know, they're doing that thing in Ukraine. But I got a question. All right. Russia, we're all on Russia, the West, and all these countries are, you know, jumping on Russia and this and that. And they're saying that Russia is going to come up with some type of cause for the invasion of Ukraine. Which they did. They said the Ukrainians are Nazis and Nazis on the rise, et cetera, et cetera. And so thereby, they're going to invade. So they invaded. But if y'all guys look back at history, we had a similar situation where George W. Bush invaded Iran. And they trumped up some stuff, too, with, you know, weapons of mass destruction. So what's the difference?
Right. Yeah, what's the difference?
What's the difference? I mean, same playbook, right?
Same playbook, but we're not... Right, exactly.
The way you reside is how you look at it. And what you're fed and the information you're given and what you tend to believe. That's the only difference.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, when Putin said that we were hypocritical, he's right. We are hypocritical. You know, if it serves our interests...
But it doesn't make...
Then we'll make a move.
It doesn't make what Putin is doing right either, though. You know, critical.
Yeah, that's right. I see we have another panel member joining in, Gene Edwards, male district leader out of the 79th district, Bronx, New York. Welcome, Gene. So let's continue.
Yeah, as you were saying, Chris.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, there he is.
I was just saying that us being hypocritical doesn't give a free pass to what he's doing there. And this is just nothing but ethnic genocide going on over there. So,
but you can't tell. They're all Russians. It's not ethnic. They're all Russians.
It depends on who you ask and what and how they view it, right? You know, you have Jewish Russians there. You got a lot of right. things at play there. There's a lot going on there. It's a lot of wordplay. But you really just got, you know, somebody with power, drunk with it, and going to do what he needs to do. Doesn't care about that. There are Russians there too, right? You just said that.
Yeah.
They're dying too.
Yeah,
I mean, he doesn't care. It's not about the people. It's about power.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. It's about expansion or re-expansion. So don't forget that, you know, prior to 1980, before Perestroika and Glasnost under Gorbachev, all right, if my history serves me, you know, reading it correctly, the Russia was USSR, all right, and under that alignment, the Ukraine was part of the USSR. Ukraine, Estonia, Georgia, all of these countries that are in close proximity to Russia on that western flank were part of the Soviet Union. And they broke up, you know, because of Glasnost and Perestroika. All right, I can give you definitions of those, but y'all guys can go look them up. But that's what Ronald Reagan was known for, the breakup of the Soviet Union. At that time, and I'm not going to labor too long on this, Putin was part of the KGB. And then he had to start driving a taxi when the state fell. And he just said recently, he reiterated that fact, and he said it many, many times, that the worst thing that had ever happened to Russia was the failure under Glasnost and Perestroika. The breakup of the Soviet Union was the worst thing that ever happened to Russia in its history. Okay?
Right, right, right. I know another, a former NATO commander had made a statement that this war with Ukraine means the end of Putin. Do you think that's like a valid thing to say? Like they know something we don't know? I don't know either
because
if you look at the economics, that's what a lot of people are looking at, the economic effect of what he's doing. The ruble is in the toilet now. The market is closed. You shut everything down. Mm-hmm. You got chaos going all over the place. Companies pulling in and out, pulling out of there. You know, it just remains to be seen. Was he prepared for this? Did he know? Did he have something lined up to protect against this? That's just something that we'll have to wait and see. But at the end of the day, do we believe he's crazy enough to start World War III? Because he's pushing all the buttons. He's testing it. You know, right. I don't know.
What do they expect the U.S. to do? I mean, beyond the sanctions right now, what?
We can't do anything. We keep reiterating.
We also got to be careful what's going on there. You got a lot of Putin sympathizers here. There's a lot of people here that want to do some things like he's doing. You know,
Donald Trump.
A lot of this stuff, Trump, you got people in Congress, you got a lot of groups out there that are supportive of this because they all feel threatened and they feel like they need to seize power here. There's a lot going on and we're not so removed from it. So people really do need to pay attention to what's going on here. And how this is going to play out, because there are a lot of people in this country that are sympathizers to this kind of behavior and these tactics.
Right, right.
Absolutely.
And some think that, you know, Putin is a war criminal as well.
Well, you know, that I throw that out with the dishwater, you know, because Bush and Cheney were charged with war crimes. All right. Okay, so right. What happened with that? That's just null and void. That's none. Right. I wouldn't even include that. It's not even a threat to him.
I mean, it's saying that, you know, to leverage, you know, and a greater incentives for the campaign. So I don't know. You know, maybe they're saying that. But like you said, what came out of it?
Right.
What came out of it? Yeah.
Wow. You know, the BBC, I was looking at BBC yesterday. I look at it every day because I like to go from local to global, you know, when I read the news daily. They were saying that there was some discrimination. I know y'all guys heard of this, of people trying to get out of the country. All right. That, you know, blacks, Asians, you know, non-whites were being discriminated against, you know, at these ports, you know, where they wanted to get out of the country. Did y'all, any of y'all guys hear about that?
Nah. That's new to me.
I did. I saw the videos of it. You know, you got to be careful with everything that you see, but I'm not surprised by it. I mean, you know, there's always time to be, to stop and stop somebody of the darker persuasion from traveling. They eventually let those people out, but they sure enough made them wait, and they put other people in front of them. So that's
story. The majority of those people were students. They were studying abroad.
So wait a minute. I did hear something about a woman with a 2-month-old baby. It said she was African, and they wouldn't allow her to leave. So I don't know what happened with that, but I know anyone of color was given a hard time.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, you know, I just can't feel, you know, I always notice those things that, you know, when you're blind, blue-eyed, you know, under the gun, all hell breaks loose, you know, and then we got all these sanctions now that are coming. I mean, the Ukrainians have gone as far as to say, you know, we want a no-fly zone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how is that going to work?
No-fly zone under the U.S.? Or
over the U.K.
Over the
U.K., a no-fly zone. How is that going to work?
Yeah, how are they going to... Well, I mean, they monitor it, so, I mean, they'll shoot them down, if anything, right, if there's a no-fly zone.
Exactly.
Isn't that what they normally do?
Russia has control of the skies over Ukraine. Yeah, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. And for the West, you know, to intervene and give them what they want, then we have to put planes in the sky. So that means we'll be battling the Russians. So we can't do that.
Right.
That's a
How do you stop them from doing that unless you're in the air? Well, I mean, they could shoot them down from the ground, can't they? If they're going to no-fly zone?
Yeah, but don't forget the Russians, they have you got surface-to-air missiles and you got all this other stuff, which I don't want to go into because this is about how it's impacting our community, right?
Right.
And so I think I'm going too far into, you know, the war itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
well, the impact of us, the economy, the stock market, we are feeling it. You're a witness to that. I'm sure we all are. Some of us on here, panel members, the stock market is basically going down. The gas prices are going up. Right. Food prices are going up. You know, what do we do? What do we do about this? The price gouging. You know, how is that? Why is that affecting us internally here? The war is not here.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jay.
So I want to take this back. I want to take this back to when you all were talking about Putin invading the Ukraine and stuff like that. Basically, what happened is Vladimir Putin said, I'm a wealthy white man, and I say so. So back in the 90s, they had brokered a deal where Russia would give the Ukraine their independence. So the Ukraine started doing business with the Western nations like the United States and things like that. And they began to prosper. So Vladimir Putin being a typical wealthy white man, he's a liar. So he said, you know what? I want the Ukraine back. I want my little brother back. And I want them united with the family, Mother Russia. So he invaded them. Mm-hmm. That's all this is about. I'm white and I say so, and I want to add to the territory of Mother Russia. So I'm going to go take back what is mine. But you agreed to, I don't care. I don't remember. I'm getting old. I forgot.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's all mm-hmm. that's about. That's just a land grab. What did Malcolm X say back in the 60s? What's the basis of all wars?
Land. Territory.
Come on, black people.
Land.
Thank you.
Territory.
Thank you.
Yeah, territory, yes.
Uh-huh. Malcolm told us that in the 60s. The basis of all wars is land. So right. Vladimir said, I want my land back, and I don't give a damn what nobody in the world says. So he went there and took over the Ukraine. Now, this is where I get upset with black people, especially these elected officials at the State of the Union. Nobody does their research. The Ukraine is arguably one of the most Aryan, racist European nations in the world. Mm. Back in 2020, when there were George Floyd protests all over the world, at the soccer matches at the stadiums in the Ukraine, those white boys would show up with banners saying "Free Derek Chauvin." Mm. And these are the people you want me to pray for? I want them to burn. I want Vladimir to keep doing his thing. You're doing a good job, Putin.
People forget.
Yeah.
People forget.
Yeah. And as far as the Africans not being allowed to get on the trains or the buses to seek refuge, not only did they have to wait for the white people to be transferred out first, They had to wait for the dogs and the pets. So somebody's cat was more valuable than the life of an African person.
Mm.
They didn't let the Africans get on so they could let the cats, the dogs and the turtles get on. It's far more severe than what y'all know. It ain't about the white people. It's about white privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Africans over there, this is not fair. This is not fair. No, African man, you decided to go over there. That's your fault, because some of the best medical schools in the world are in Nigeria and Ghana. And if you go to any hospital in New York City, most of the top doctors are either Nigerian or Ghanaian. So it's your fault, African, for going to a white racist nation and thinking you could blend in. Because remember, you're not black.
Right.
You're African. You're not black. So that's mm-hmm. what you get, African Negro. You get. This is my philosophy. This is my philosophy. You get what you deserve, whether it's good or bad. You get what you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Trust the white European before they trust the U.S. American blacks.
And did you hear Attorney General for Ukraine? He did an interview. And he said it hurts his heart to see Russia killing blonde-haired, blue-eyed white people.
There you go. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yes, I mentioned it earlier.
He didn't say it hurts his heart to see his country getting bombed, which means everybody that lives in Ukraine, even people of color. He said it hurts his heart to see blonde-haired, blue-eyed white people get killed. And these are the people you want me to pray for? No, I'm not praying for Ukraine. I'm praying that Putin never loses his courage. Keep doing it, Putin. take out our enemy. Because what's going to happen is the reason why Biden and them want the Ukraine refugees over here is because those white people are already on cold. They're blonde hair, blue eye, and they don't like black people. Mm. And they're all part of... There's a strong white supremacist group over there in the Ukraine. They're called Azov. A-Z-O-V. Azov. A-Z-O-V. Research them, okay?
Okay.
It's white supremacists in that group Azov. that's going to be the refugees to come over here, right? And then they're going to get indoctrinated. They're going to get speech lessons to learn how to speak English. They're going to get housing. They're going to get citizenship. They're going to get jobs. And you know what they're going to do right after that? They're going to join the Proud Boys, and they're going to ride around town looking for a black person to kill. And these are the people you want me to pray for? No, I'm praying for Putin. I'm praying for Putin.
I hear you.
All right, now,
I wish our people had those privileges.
Listen, all right, go ahead. I respectfully say I'm not praying for any of them, to be honest with you. Putin, them, they're all the same to me, all of them. Now, Pete, I mentioned to somebody, I had this discussion.
Chris, hold on one second.
Let me finish, bro. I didn't interrupt you. Let me finish.
All right.
I had this conversation with a brother, and I said, there's always time for racism. These people are faced with harrowing death barreling down their throat, down their necks, but yet they got time to be racist. You just got to look and see. If you have time to pick and choose who's boarding a train and your life is in peril right now, you got time for that. Racism with them is so much more powerful than even this war that they're in. People don't even realize it. I don't have any sympathy. I don't have any like. I don't care one way or the other. If you're a racist, I got nothing good for you. But I'm not celebrating Putin either, because again, the rise of Putin is the rise of this kind of behavior all over the planet. Trust and believe. There are people here wanting to do the same thing right this very moment.
Okay, now let me take that a little further. I got a question that prompts me to ask you this. Do you see a correlation between what Putin is doing and Donald Trump?
Absolutely.
No, I don't see a correlation.
Do you see any connection? I wouldn't say a correlation. Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on. I want to address what Chris was saying. The reason why I give favor to Putin is because I used to work with a guy that was Russian. He was actually from Moscow. And we had taken up a collection at work so he could fly home because his father was about to die. And, you know, he was gone for about a month and he came back. And his name was Vladimir, too. We all call him Vladdy. So I said, Vladdy, you know, other than your father dying, you know, did it feel good to be back home? He said, no, Gene. It actually felt like I was back in Brooklyn. I said, what you mean? He said, it was black people everywhere, you know? So black people prosper over in Moscow. And for those that don't know, it was a black man that created the Russian language. I think his name, Kosky, I'm getting the name wrong. It's a Russian name, but he was black. And he actually created the Russian language. Prior to that, a lot of the emperors in Russia were of African descent. So there is black history in Russia. I can't say the same about Ukraine. And the last report I got about Moscow was my man Vladdy. This was about 10 years ago. He said Moscow looked like Brooklyn, full of black people.
Wow. Is that where is that where the term Slavic comes from?
I don't know, but it was a black man that created the Russian language. I want to say Tosky or Chosky.
But you're saying black people prosper in Russia. We prosper everywhere we go. Doesn't mean that we welcome.
Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't mean everywhere we go, we prosper. We do great things. We build up places. We introduce all kinds of greatness to these places. But I know one of my boys I grew up with, he played ball in Russia. It's heavy racism over there. So it's no different than what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, no different. It's all around the world. Racism doesn't end just here.
My point was...
Let me go back to what I had asked first, okay? The correlation between what Putin's doing and what Donald Trump tried to do with the denial of the results of the election. And whether there was some you know, I maybe it's just a conspiracy theory on my part, but I find it somewhat convenient for Putin and Donald Trump. You know, once Donald Trump loses the election, you got Biden in there. Now Putin is making his move now. Okay. So to me, it seems like a coincidence. Mm-hmm. All right. That he would take up the air in the room now and turn it away from Donald Trump. That's mm-hmm. that's just the way I see it. And y'all guys may think differently, but that's my rationale behind asking that question, or whether you saw a correlation or not.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing by accident. All of these things are taking place at a very delicate time in our life, right? There's a lot of distrust with government here for good reason. You know, it's only now that when it affects other people, you know, now we can't trust the government. But when we were screaming it, they're just making everything up. They're just complaining. Well, who's complaining now? You know, there's a lot. The globe is changing, right? The internet has shortened the distance between people. It has made you not have to be in the United States to make money, to be rich. You could be anywhere on the planet and do business with anyone. And the globe is changing. It's getting browner. And these people are getting angry by it. It's all power. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You know what scares me mostly, though, about this is the proximity of U.S. troops and Russian troops, because you have U.S. troops going to places like Estonia, Georgia, places like that, and other NATO countries that are close to Russia, that anything can happen. That frightens me, that it could be, and it'd be an accident or whatever, but it could prompt something much bigger.
Hey, Walt, let's not forget one thing too, Walt. You remember the Budapest Agreement?
No, I don't recall it off the top.
When NATO asked Ukraine and all of these smaller countries to give up their nuclear arms, that all plays into this, because you ask these people to get rid of their nuclear weapons, which were keeping them safe from an attack like this. And NATO's responsibility was to defend them if they had this kind of problem. So where do we go now? Putin is calling your bluff. He's challenging you. I'm going in and I want to see what you're going to do, because they can't protect themselves now.
Right.
Yeah, because Putin already said, he laid his on the line. He said, you know, you're going to see something that you never seen before. He already threw that out.
I don't know. You know what? I can't say that Ukraine has gotten rid of all their nuclear arms, because last night Russia seized a nuclear plant. They didn't say a nuclear power plant. They said a nuclear plant. So what was that plant being used for? Because it wasn't referred to as a power plant. Remember, you got to pay attention to words. Everything ain't semantic.
Right.
Sometimes I things didn't are say conveniently that,
but left out. But if they had the ability to defend themselves, he wouldn't be in there with a 40-mile-long convoy.
Yeah, but you really think that Ukraine would have the guts to drop a nuclear bomb on Russia?
Well, I think Russia is pushing. So Russia would use a nuclear weapon. I believe it.
Hey, Gene, they're standing in front of tanks with their bodies. Can't be more desperate than that.
I believe that Russia will use a nuclear weapon. That because there's no, they're not losing anything. They will not lose. They refuse to. Even with MAD, mutually assured destruction, Russia will use it. They're threatening it. They're on high alert.
I don't doubt it, because his people are going to suffer. They're suffering right now. He's asking the citizens of Russia to stand pat with him while their economy crumbles. So does that sound like somebody that cares about his own people? Or does he know something we don't know?
Right, and didn't he relocate? He's not even there.
He's in the bunker.
And everybody else is killing themselves to get out.
Yeah, I just want to go to and try to rep on this is that, you know, I don't think it's our war to fight, but I do feel sorry for, you know, the military, the U.S. military, because, you know, in the military, it's mostly minorities, if I'm correct on that. They're going to be out there, the ones dying. All right, if it becomes a ground war. All right, it'll be a ground war before a nuclear war anyway, you know? So, you know,
it shouldn't be our fight.
All right, what do you think, Gene?
I keep telling you, every fight is our fight, because the globe is, we're not as far apart as we think we are. Not anymore. Mm-hmm. Times have changed. These people could shut down our economy, hack into our systems. This is not just about war on the ground, boots on the ground anymore. This is a different world.
That's true. It is a different world. I mean, where do you guys foresee this going? I mean, it's affecting, I'm sure it's not just our economy. It's all around the world.
Global.
What can they do? It's global. What are they going to do? Do you think, you know, I think Putin is going to continue.
I know he will. You know, yeah. If you're asking me, he will continue until he wins. He wants total annihilation, okay, of the Ukrainian army. He wants to annihilate them, okay? Wow. And that's what he's going to do, all right? Until such time as that, and it's nothing we can do about it as far as the West. And I say we. I live in the West. I'm American. So as far as the West and the NATO nations, they don't want to fight. They don't want to fight because they know what it's going to come to.
He's calling bluffs.
But you know what? Everybody tends to forget that Russia has this very wealthy little brother that they've been supporting since the 80s. It's a group of Persians that identify as white in this country oil rich. And right there on the coast is called Iran. So don't think that Russia is really going to struggle, because anytime they want, they can start releasing some reserves in Iran and everything will be back to normal. People forget about the relationship between Iran and Russia. Because remember when that crazy dude Ahmadinejad was the president back in the early 2000s of Iran, and the United States was threatening him because he was making all type of insults and threats to America, and America had already invaded and was occupying Iraq, and they started making aggressions towards the border of Iran-Iraq. Putin flew to Iran and did a press conference, and he put his arm around Ahmadinejad, and he says, "I will protect you and make sure nothing happens to Iran." And America backed off. I remember the reason why I remember that is because when they had the UN, I remember it vividly because I was working at Columbia when the UN General Assembly met in September of that year, right? Downtown in Manhattan. And the Student Union of Columbia University had invited Ahmadinejad to come and speak at the school. There was a lot of bad press in the New York Times saying that these college students are wacky and stuff like that, but they couldn't come down too hard on the students because most of the white students at Columbia come from privileged white families, you know?
Okay.
So he spoke about how Russia was his friend and stuff like that. I remember all of that. And all of these stories are conveniently left out of the news media because they want to bombard you with the propaganda that they put before you, hoping you'll be dumb and forgetful and think that when you see the news and you see people scrambling at the grocery stores and the shelves are empty and the economy is tanking, you know what that reminds me of?
What?
Watching the news and listening to Al Roker said, there's going to be a nor'easter this weekend. And then you go to the grocery store and the damn lines are 3 hours long. There's no bread because everybody's panicking because it's going to snow 12 inches for one day. There's 7 days in a week, but for that one day, it's going to snow 12 inches. So let me go spend $1,000 on groceries. For that one day, I'm going to be in a house. So be careful of the propaganda you see on TV and use your own good judgment.
Absolutely. Just like you read a newspaper, same thing. You know,
let me piggyback that though. Let's not get it twisted. This war game, none of these people are friends.
They friends today until they're not. Let's be clear on that. Number two, this oil thing can be fixed with technology. But the same people here that you hear, you know, you hear this crazy Lindsey Graham telling people in Russia to go take out Putin. As if his punk behind would do it. But at the end of the day, technology could take you away from this problem. You got EV cars. You got all kinds of technology that's being held up in the pipe because all of these people are getting rich. Don't think people here with this gas going up. It ain't just, it's people here getting rich from this. It's all a game. They're all on the same team. All of them.
Or war brings money to the rich.
But none of them are friends. Don't get it twisted. Tomorrow they'll be fighting at each other's throats for the dollar that they helped each other get. It's all about surviving until the next battle. Those Iranians don't look like Putin. They don't look like him either. Nope. And trust me, he'll turn on them just as fast as he turned on his own people. Just like this, here.
What's the old saying? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. That's all that is.
No,
that's
Chris. All that is. Chris. No, Chris. The only reason why the Iranians look different because they live in a desert region, so their skin is brown. But the Iranians, which are the Persians, they actually identify as white. And if you know anything about the history of Iran, the word Iran means land of the Aryan. They consider themselves to be an Aryan.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying the person that you are aligning them with doesn't consider them one of him. Trust me. He don't consider them one of him either. They're tainted. They ain't pure Aryan.
And you believe this because why?
Because they're all the same, bro. It's about what you just say. War is about grabbing what? Land. Power. Land. So if I could put my arm around you and make you feel like I'm your friend, in order to get my objective passed, that's what I'm going to do. None of these people are friends to each other. That man killing his own people. There's Russians dying in Ukraine.
Yeah.
It ain't just Ukrainian people there. There's Russians dying over there.
Let me ask you.
These people don't care about... He doesn't care about anybody else.
No. Let me ask you a question. So if Russia doesn't see the Persians as white, then, you know, when the United States attacked Iraq and took over their oil reserves and took over their gold, right? Why didn't Russia do the same to Iran? And why have they been protecting Iran since before the 1980s, since before Reagan? Russia could easily have invaded Iran and took over their oil reserves and their gold, but they didn't.
But what? In fact, he doubled down on it
by doing a press conference and putting his arm around him. So I want
to
know.
I'm giving you an example of how Russia sees Iran as being a bad guy.
One thing
I'm asking you, what would they gain from that?
I do want to move on. Especially, you know, you heard about the sanctions. I do want to move on to the sanctions part of it. All right. Which I don't think is working. You know, people, just nonsense. But I do want to move to SWIFT. All right. You heard them finally implement SWIFT. prohibitions against Russia. All right, SWIFT. That is the method that you transfer money cross border. So you want to make an international payment, it will go through SWIFT. Okay? For example, if Michelle's in London and I want to transfer some money to her, okay, I can go to the account and tell the bank, okay, debit my account, pay Michelle, whatever, in London. It's going to go through SWIFT. That's how the bank's going to get it from the American bank to the British bank. You got 11,000 members of SWIFT. It was started by banks. All right. They were hoping that crypto would take the place of SWIFT, but no, it's not going to happen. So if you got, in Russia's case, they got oil, they got to sell it. How are they going to get paid without SWIFT? So that is a major blow to Russia. They're going to probably try to go around it, but I don't see that as they could take $150, $200 million, put it in a suitcase to go pay somebody. All right. Michelle and I, we worked in banks, so we know SWIFT. Right. And how powerful SWIFT is. SWIFT, if they take you off SWIFT, forget about it.
Right.
You're in trouble. You can't move your money.
Right.
All right. And they're coming up saying, well, the Chinese got a solution with the CIPS, some type of funds transfer system that they got. But let me just define SWIFT. I think I defined it, but let me define it again. What is the acronym? SWIFT stands for Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications, recognized by all banks globally.
Right.
And it's a privilege for a bank to be a member of SWIFT. Mm-hmm. Not all banks are. All right? So, you know, they got to pay.
Factor of you for transferring funds.
Exactly. And for confirmation of trades. Mm-hmm. Equities, foreign exchange. I mean, everything's on SWIFT.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
All right. So SWIFT is them kicking them off SWIFT. They didn't kick them completely off. They left them some breathing room. All right. But if we can be completely kicked off SWIFT is a damaging blow to them. All right.
Yeah.
So I just wanted y'all guys, and it is.
But,
yeah, Michelle.
But do we not think he thought of these things though? I mean, I'm not going to just
put things in place. He's
like
not going to,
But I'm not going to act like this guy's a fool. He had to know all of these sanctions were coming.
Right.
You know, I agree with you. I agree with you.
I think something is in play here. There's a lot of.
I'm sure he's covering himself.
Bitcoin money.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Bitcoin. They got.
But Bitcoin cannot take the place. Bitcoin cannot take the place of, you know, along with blockchain, cannot take the place of SWIFT. They're not ready.
I'm just of the mindset they've been able to hack a lot of things, elections, banking systems. I'm of the mindset they prepared for this.
When you say prepared, you talking about Putin is prepared, was prepared for this eventuality?
Listen, he's not a fool.
They have to
know that these things are
going to
happen.
Yeah, their finances.
Right, the dude is an ex-KGB dude. He's not
a
fool.
Chris, I'm in total agreement with you. I am in total agreement with you. The guy is former KGB. The guy had to have had, and his military leaders that are around him, they have worst case scenario plans. If this happened, they tried to think of every possible risk, right, to what they're doing and try to mitigate it. All right, if they kick us off SWIFT, what are we going to do? I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. Because I've done it.
I know they covered their bases.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be hard, but we're going to have to do this. Yeah, I'm quite sure.
That's what I mean when I say they shortened the internet and technology has shortened the distance between us and everybody else. We're all basically, you know, it seems like we're far apart or we're much more ahead of them, but we're not. We're all in the same fishbowl.
Well, I just want to say that, you know, with SWIFT, you got 11,000 members of SWIFT globally, member institutions, and they average 42 million messages per day through the network. Okay, and that's an increase. Now, that's for 2002. It's 11.4% over 2020. now for 2021. And about 50% of all those methods that they execute is monetary transactions.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So SWIFT is no joke. And how he's going to mitigate that, I'm telling you, you're going to have to pull a rabbit out of the hat. I don't see it. I don't know how you're going to do that.
Unless they had another form of their own that they had years prior to SWIFT. I mean, well, not prior.
What was that? Yeah, I'm not laughing at you. I was just thinking of cable because I was there when they transitioned from cable to SWIFT. Mm-hmm. I was working in the bank then.
I think a line's being drawn and they're calling bluffs and he ready to burn it all down. Yeah. You coming with me?
Well, that's what he's doing. That's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah. That's my conclusion too, Chris. That's why I'm kind of.
And I feel
nervous.
Like they waited too long. They had to know he was going to do this. It was out there. The people that were trying to leave Ukraine, if you were a student there, what'd you wait for? Why you wait so long?
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm curious about. Why is it?
Get out of there.
It was going to happen. They didn't think it was going to happen. Why would you wait the last minute to get out?
All the intelligence blew said up the airport. It was going down.
Yeah, like, man. What were they doing? Sleeping?
I got a question for Gene. Gene, what do you think about Germany in this situation, reconstituting their military, or are they?
I think they drinking their water, minding their business.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. How do you see Germany in this situation? Is it an excuse for them to rearm? To remilitarize? All right, let me put it this way.
I don't understand the question.
All right, the question is, Germany, World War II. All right. They kicked a lot of ass, excuse my expression, tail in World War II. They even beat down the Soviets, the Russians, the Soviet Union. And the Soviet Union would have lost if they didn't have the Western, the U.S. and the West fighting the Nazis. But one of the reasons that Germany is, you know, everybody's like on edge, because Germany's saying, yeah, we are going to support Ukraine. We're going to do whatever is necessary to help Ukraine. And right away, Putin said, oh, are we going to go on a state of high alert for our nuclear weapons? Right after the Germans said that. So maybe I'm seeing a line between things that may not be true, but I'm seeing some lines there that the Russians jumped right after the Germans said what they were going to do. So I'm looking at it from a military perspective and history.
So you're basically asking me, is Germany doing the right thing? Or
no, I'm asking, should we fear Germany being in this situation where they have to go on an offense, take an offensive role?
No. Germany is just happy that for once in the history of war that they're not the bad guy. So right now they're drinking ale and eating pretzels, you know. Because Germany has always been the bad guy. This is our chance to make everybody forget about Nazis and Wenzel. Let's have an ale. That's not Germany. Germany's military is trash compared to what it was in the early 20th century. So Germany is just happy to be on the right side of history.
And we got an air base and military personnel on the ground to make sure that they stay like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Germany, no, they're not going to do anything.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not their fight.
All right.
They're going to mind their business.
All right, good. Because I was concerned. Not really concerned, but I know their history. And, so I was just wondering, you know, I know that they kicked the Soviets, you know, tails during World War II. They really killed a lot of them. So,
well, they didn't kick the Soviets' tail. They killed a lot of them. But what the president of Russia did, oh gosh, his name escapes me too. I'm bad with these Russian surnames.
Was Stalin?
Anyway, yeah, Stalin. He used a tactic called scorched earth, right? So
right.
What he did was he had his, like, once Germany invaded Russia, right? He had his troops retreat. And as they would retreat, they would burn everything behind them. And they went deeper and deeper into Russia, and they went north. So the deeper north you go, now you're
the
in
the weather.
Yeah, ice area where nothing grows, and it's cold and it's snowy and there's no food. So most armies they actually rely on eating up the resources of the towns that they invade when they invade a country. They take the food, the blankets, the women, you know, and, you know, have their way with the women, take the food and the blankets and, you know, socks and stuff like that. But when Stalin used scorched earth, there was no way for them to replenish the supplies. And they were so deep into Russia that by the time the German supplies got there, it would be too late. So the soldiers were either dying or they turned into carnivores. And started eating each other, you know. So
that was one of the reasons why Germany got weakened, because of the weather there. It destroyed a lot of the military. He's 100% right.
Well, it wasn't just the weather. It was that there was no resources, Chris. They burnt everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you invade a town, and the first thing you think, I'm going to take a hot bath. You know, I'm going to use the toilet. I'm going to get something to eat. But everything is burnt to ashes. So now you're like, damn, I only got like 3 hot dogs left. Because remember, hot Frankfurters were created by the Germans in Frankfurt, Germany. And that was a meal for soldiers to carry. Like the army in America, we have MREs. They had hot dogs and Vienna sausages, you know. So that's what they ate to sustain themselves until they would reach a town where they could replenish their supplies. But they ran out of hot dogs, and they ran out of territory, and they died.
Okay. All right. We're pushing up against the clock. I wanted to...
Hey, Walt, before we leave, I want to say this. Don't forget China in this. I think Russia has...
Good point.
I think the ace up the sleeve is China, man. For some reason, very quiet on this.
But they abstained in the UN.
China's been quiet.
Yeah, yeah.
China's been very quiet.
Very quiet.
And, not showing their head.
And you notice, and China didn't send any troops to NATO. China's just sitting back watching. Because the same way the Afghan war and the Iraqi war cost us trillions, and then China began buying up America, China's looking to buy up Russia.
You think so?
They sitting back watching then, waiting.
You know, I was thinking that it was like a more of a coalition between China and Russia.
Gene is right.
You know, against the West.
I think China's selling that to them so they can get in there and own them.
Well, I think they're using it as a prelude to taking Taiwan, because they already said that out loud. They're going to take Taiwan, and we have a defense treaty with Taiwan. All right. And I think the Chinese are going to just take Taiwan. And they said it already. We're going to take it.
They already implemented it. Yeah, they already started. Yep.
Yeah,
listen, so Russia ain't as far away from us as people think either. Alaska.
Oh, you like Sarah Palin. You can see Russia from your front. Yeah. From your living room, your front porch. I can see Russia when I get
That's a good one, Walt.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I like that. Funny.
That's
okay. Funny.
That's all right, funny. So we're going to do a wrap, guys. any last words, Gene? Chris, you know, Michelle.
God bless those people. You know, that's all I could say. And hopefully something will come to an end with it, because it's just affecting everyone around the world. We want peace.
Yeah, we definitely want peace, but it seems like, you know, the harder we try to get away from it, the worse it is. And, you know, it's some rough times, you know. Let me just close by saying it's been some rough times, and we've been through a lot with COVID and Trump and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, it's just strange. It's just a strange time. And, you know,
from one extreme to the next, yeah.
Just keep pushing forward, keep your head straight. That's my, you know, that's what I want to end with. Keep your head straight. Keep working. You know, stay positive.
Stay
you
safe.
You know, things are bound to change. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm going to turn it over to you, Michelle, and then you can, you know, take us out.
Chris,
well, no.
Chris, Gene.
I want to end it with this. I need black people to be smart, be diligent. Stop paying attention to the propaganda you see on the news and think about things in real time. Okay, understand there's a reason why when we left Afghanistan a month later, we were bringing in refugees coming in on those airplanes, and we got them settled in different cities throughout the United States. And as soon as they landed in New York, the governor allocated $10 million towards the Afghan. That was for life skills. That's to get them settled, get them into English speaking classes, and get them on a fast track to citizenship. Why? Because they identify as white. Now they're bringing in these Ukrainians, right? Biden already said this is your home of refuge. You bring in these Ukrainians that are already white. Most of them already speak at least a modicum of English, but do the same thing with them. Get them in English speaking classes, get them on the fast track to citizenship, get them in housing, get them employed. And the reason why they're doing this, right, is because they want to be able to say that it was a Democratic president and Democratic governors that opened up their borders and let you in and gave you a better life. Why? So they could register as Democrats. Because what's happening is the Democratic Party is seeing that black people are falling out of favor with Biden the same way we fell out of favor with Hillary Clinton in 2016. So they have to create a buffer class to replace the black vote. Because the worst thing that could happen to Joe Biden in 2024 is that the black people decide to stay home the same way they did Hillary, and then Donald Trump wins again. But if you could, within 2 years, create a buffer class of white Afghans and white Ukrainians and have them looking like white Americans and being registered Democrats, now you have a brand new voting block that you could add to the white Democratic Party, where the black Democrats that decide to stay home will, in effect, won't have an effect. Okay, so that's what all this is about. So don't think that we're just, you know, they're doing this for the goodness of their heart, because they didn't let they never invited Ukrainians to come in before. So why now? We were just at war with the Afghans for 20 years. All of a sudden now we're letting them come over. Now we're friends. So pay attention to the real game that's going on. Use your own good judgment and stop paying attention to all this kumbaya stuff you see on TV. And that's my last word.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Gene.
Chris?
I can't argue with that. The only thing I will say is they can't keep looking at the globe and the world in the pocket that we used to look at it in. Because, again, I say this and I repeat it many times. The internet has changed the way we see things. It brings people closer. You know, hip hop is the number one genre of music across the world, the globe. You know, there's a reason for it. And sometimes you can't help yourself. You can't stop the progression that's taking place, especially in the United States. The country is getting browner and it's scaring people, but it's too late to stop it. It's too late. Talk to y'all later.
Okay.
I agree with that. We talk later.
Michelle, I want you to close the show.
Okay, thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you, guys. We're thank you, everyone, for this, joining.
Definitely.
Yes, definitely, for joining the Walt Weekly Friday Night Live with host Walter Latham Sr. and co-host Michelle Sweeney McCombs, panel members Gene Edwards and Christopher Sweeney, and, of course, our live audience for joining us. This broadcast will be rebroadcast Sunday after 3 p.m. on all streaming platforms. Please check out our past shows and follow the Walt Weekly at www.thewaltweekly.com, IG and Facebook, The Walt Weekly, Twitter, Walt Weekly, Podbean, The Walt Weekly. We are on iTunes, Spotify Radio, iHeartRadio, Pandora. And as COVID vaccinations and mask mandates are lifted, please continue to be safe out there. Have an awesome weekend. Good night.
Good night, everybody.